Gracefully and Frankly is brought to you by Sierra Sil. We're going to be talking about keeping up energy as we age this show. And you can have all the energy in the world, but if you have painful joints, you still can't do much, right? Get yourself started today on Sierra Sil. Their capsules, spray, even pet chews, all natural, and they promise you will feel relief in your joint pain within 14 days of starting or your money back. You really do have nothing to lose but the pain.
Find out about it for yourself at SierraSil.com. Sierra, like the mountains, S-I-L.com. And when you make a purchase, get 10% off with the code GF.
Well, here we go. Episode 92. I'm Erin Davis.
I'm Lisa Brandt. And we are going to talk about energy. Getting your energy back up if it's fallen down and when you need to see somebody about it.
Absolutely. Going to talk about Ikigai, what it is, finding your passion, and why it's so important. And if your passion was Tupperware, oh dear, they tried to keep a lid on it, but it looks like it may be Tata Tupperware.
Fall allergies are not only real, they're getting worse, and we'll tell you why and some ways you may want to try to cope with them.
What happens when a family member decides to change teams? Not picking another family. It's not that bad. We'll explain.
And why being in a crowd is different than being on your own if something unusual happens. It's science and it's real, and Erin saw it firsthand.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It really is. Hey, can I do the Envy Pillow mention this week?
Please, go ahead.
Well, it happened right in my living room. Our dog sitter, Celia, came from Saskatchewan to stay with Dottie and Libby. And the first night, I said, you're going to notice an unusual pillow there. I gave her my travel Envy Pillow to use before we left because she's going to be using the big one on the bed. And she said, oh, good, I wanted to try one of these. I've heard about them. And then the next morning, she said, that's it. I'm getting one for myself, and I'm getting one for my daughter and her husband. They are Saskatchewan farmers. They work hard, they sleep hard, and they need good pillows. So it was just a matter of trying it and loving it. And with Envy Pillow, you can do exactly that. Because if you don't love it, you just send it back. They donate it to a women's shelter after it's cleaned.
Check it out, Envy Pillow. .com. Read all about it, feel all about it when you order it, and get 10% off with your code GF. Okay, another flight. What was it like? How was your plane trip?
It was good. Touch wood, if I had any in this hotel room. Porter hasn't let me down yet. It's good to be back in southern Ontario. Although, Lisa, I'm not used to the humidity. I've become soft and dry, it turns out.
Oh, it's such a relief to come visit you and get away from it. It's really hard to cope with, isn't it?
It is, but it's just so good to be back here. It's good. The colors haven't really started to change yet, but it's all timing, isn't it?
Well, we go through a hike in the woods, and there's a sort of a trail near us, and everything's turning in the woods, but on the outside, it's all green. And I don't understand how that works. I'm sure somebody smarter than me does, but and yeah, you're right. It all depends where you are. So Porter didn't let you down. The plane flight was good.
Yep.
And you learned something about crowds. And I'm dying to know about this.
Oh, this is so fascinating. Well, it comes from a podcast called Cautionary Tales that I love to listen to. So I'm listening to this episode about a Beverly Hills Supper Club nightclub fire that happened in 1977 in Kentucky. And the crowd was waiting for John Davidson to come on. And remember John Davidson, those sparkling teeth, those brilliant dimples?
Dimples, yeah.
And there's a fire that starts in part of the building. And so this kid who was working there decides, well, nobody's doing anything, so he's going to do something. He gets up on stage in the middle of this stand-up comic act, and he tells everybody, okay, I need you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. There is a fire in the building, and you need to get up and very calmly head toward that exit. But everybody just sits there, and they're looking around, and they're thinking, we've paid for our tickets to see John Davidson. And they're watching each other to see who's getting up to leave. Well, the short version of the story is many, many of them did not. And they all stayed, and they perished because they couldn't get out, and there was smoke inhalation and everything else. So what this reminded me of was getting on the flight, and Rob and I didn't have our masks on. We sat in our seats, and Rob said, well, I'm not going to put my mask on. We've gotten through the lineup and stuff. We're on the plane. And there's a woman in a row ahead of me who has her mask on. And then in the row next to us, this man is coughing and coughing and coughing. And the woman next to him, I lean over and kind of look toward the window. She's also got a tissue out and she's going through it, whatever it is. She's into a tissue as well. And I said, this couple has something. Put on your mask. And so we did for the whole flight. But it also reminded me that seeing that other woman with the mask on made me think, yeah, let's wear our masks. So that was the kind of the smoke crowd effect in real time.
It's a little bit like nobody wants to stand out and be the first, I guess. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes. And there was this science experiment where they had groups of volunteers in rooms filling out questionnaires. And as they were, they piped in smoke. Interestingly, when there was a group of volunteers in one room, and the smell came, nobody got up or did anything. I think they were all looking at each other to go, okay, is he reacting? Is she reacting? And when they didn't, nobody did anything. But when it was one person in the room by themselves, as soon as the smoke started, they got up and went out to tell someone that they were smelling smoke.
Right.
What does that tell you about how we behave in crowds?
Well, they did an experiment regarding a murder and found out that the more people who are witnessing an assault or a murder, they won't do anything. But when there's one, they feel all the responsibility. So I think if somebody's looking around for an authority figure and nobody emerges, it's kind of like, well, we must be okay. But if you're on your own, you make that decision for yourself, I guess, because there's nobody else to look to. Yeah,
exactly. It was fascinating. Oh, speaking of murders, you were on a murder mystery train.
Yeah, they do this in Port Stanley. We have a little train here. It's like a 1952 train that's been all done up. And they, Aaron, they went through such an ordeal to dig out the tracks and repair them. And this happened over years. And anyway, it's a real great little tourist attraction. So we've been on it for a couple different things. But this is the first time we got tickets because they sell so fast for the murder mystery dinner. So we went with our neighbors, Bill and Carol. And it was Carol's idea. So I thank her for getting us on there. And it was just good fun. I mean, it was corny and silly. Derek ended up getting up. I actually have video of it. I should post it on our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page. He ended up getting up and leading a dance down the train. And Bill became a model in a fashion show. He had to wear a tutu. And it was just silliness. And the dinner was good. And it was a nice evening. So
good.
Yeah. It goes to St. Thomas and back, which if anybody knows Port Stanley to St. Thomas, you can drive it in about 10 minutes. But I think we go at 6 kilometers an hour or something.
Ooh.
So it's a nice slow track. And yeah, it's just a fun little thing.
So it's not exactly the Orient Express, but it was a good time. Oh, that's fantastic.
Not even close. Yeah, but it was a good time.
But you and Derek weren't the murderers?
No, we weren't. And turned out only the players were the murderers. They had people in the audience playing different roles, but I just had no idea who did it. So when I filled out my little card, I just made a joke, which they actually read out, which I would have to tell you the whole plot and everything to explain, so it's not worth it. But I made them laugh, so that was a success for me.
Do you suffer from allergies?
All spring, all summer, and well into the fall until there's frost. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Climate change is making it worse because everybody knows that spring is the big one, but fall can be just as bad. And the biggest culprit is, of course, ragweed. It starts to bloom in August, typically peaks in mid-September, but it can continue to grow into November. And you have to have that first big frost or snow to kill it off, right? And what's happening as temperatures stay warmer, that first frost is happening later and later, so they have more time to grow and release allergens.
It looks to me like weeds are growing faster.
Mm.
I have nothing to base that on except, except where we walk.
Yeah.
And they can trim the him, and 2 weeks later, they're as tall as me again. So obviously, let's just say it's a fact and spread this far and wide that weeds are growing faster.
I heard it on a podcast.
That's right. Wow. So what are we supposed to do beyond allergy pills?
Well, the first thing you should do is test for COVID, because runny noses, sneezing, stuffiness, post-nasal drip, and fatigue symptoms sound a whole lot like colds and COVID. So you have to take a test. But there are a few clues to help pin down the course of your sniffles. If you don't have fever, body ache, or GI symptoms, then, of course, it's probably allergies. Watch out for scratchy, tingling ears, eyes, throats, and noses. And fall allergens can also cause rashes like eczema. I didn't know that.
I guess in severe cases, people can get hives, too. I've seen that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, so how to handle them? You asked that. And we have the answers here. If you can do it, keep your windows closed as much as possible, especially on sunny, windy days when pollen levels are particularly high. Take your shoes off at the door. We've already kind of established we do that. You might also want to take a shower and change your clothes when you get home from that walk, Lisa. HEPA air filters can help clean the air indoors and remove mold and dander. Try to vacuum more often, especially if your pets go outside. Consider washing your sheets regularly as well. Keep your pets out of your bedroom. Not going to happen. And that's so that they don't track pollen onto your pillow. And you might want to wear a hat and sunglasses outside, which you do anyway, which can shield your face from pollen. And also masks might mitigate symptoms.
I'm not going for a walk in a mask. There is no way. No way.
Yeah.
Although I see people doing it. Somehow they manage it.
But. Well, I've wondered that. You know, people out by themselves with a mask on. And I go, okay, why? But you know what? It could be allergies.
Right.
And as Tim Walz, who is the vice presidential candidate in the U.S., says, just mind your own damn business. That works, too.
Exactly.
Lisa, is it Tata Tupperware? You wrote a blog about this, and I didn't want to read it because I always want to get your fresh take and hear it for the first time.
Oh.
I know. I get my own personal narrator, aren't I lucky? And so does everybody else who listens to Gracefully and Frankly. So,
Tupperware was invented 78 years ago. What's happened is last year they tried to restructure, and this year they filed for bankruptcy, and they're hoping to get a buyer, but it's not looking likely because sales are down so far. They didn't pivot quickly enough, and the thing that makes Tupperware so great is also now its downfall, and that's that it never wears out.
Oh.
It's so hard to destroy. One of the things I said in my blog was that we should have made it cool to hand down the Tupperware to the next generation. So, all right, you're moving out to go to university. Here's your Tupperware, you know, so that it became a cool thing, because it's just not cool in the disposable society. Disposable in the good way that it can be recycled or whatever, but disposable in a bad way where it's get everything fast and get it cheap. So one of the women who read my blog said she talked to her Tupperware distributor and she had no knowledge of this, but on the ground, if I'm not mistaken, they sort of get like, I know there's a catalog, but they also get a quantity of Tupperware that they can sell or show or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would really change too much in the immediate future for them. There's also a chance they could be sold or something. I mean, somebody might buy them and come up with a way to make a move, but it doesn't look good.
Well, I bought a set about 2 years ago because I was a big fan of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And then Tupperware got on that and they marketed and sold a set that had the beautiful pastel colors that I was seeing in the Maisel kitchen.
Aw.
Yeah. So I bought those. I bought into those. So I have Tupperware that I'll hand down to Colin and Jane, probably.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But also, does the article or anything that you read about it mention what selling them in Target on shelves did to the business model?
Too little, too late.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, Rubbermaid, all those other container makers were already in grocery stores and everywhere. And Tupperware just looks antiquated now, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, we have such great memories of Tupperware, don't we?
We do.
I bought that green colander.
Yes, my mom had it.
Yeah, so that's exactly. My mom had it too. And I found one in a store, and an antique store, of course, and bought it just for the memory. And actually, it's a really good colander as well. But
yeah, mine had a big melt mark in it. I don't know how my mother did it, but obviously it was too close to a pot sitting next to the stove, probably waiting for the spaghetti to boil. So here's to the memories of Tupperware, and maybe there's enough of a nostalgic boost that'll keep it alive, but probably not. Speaking of things to be handed down, we got a rude awakening this week. When we arrived in Ottawa, we surprised Colin and Jane, who are soon to be 10 and 5 respectively, with a hockey game Tuesday night. We went to see the Senators and Leafs game here in Ottawa. And I will remind you, I'm recording in a hotel room with a towel over my head and pillows behind the mic, so it won't sound like my studio. And if it does, then I spent too much converting my studio. But anyway, so Jane has decided that because she's in Ottawa, she is no longer a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, as we record this, Rob is out looking for some Senators wear for her, and it's the end of an era. And I say that quite deliberately because poor Colin, I mean, we've set him up for God knows how many years of disappointment as a Leafs fan, and he is diehard like his granddude. But Jane has decided, nope, she's going to take on the team that is from here. So the Senators aren't much better, unfortunately, for her. But you know what? We have to encourage her own fulfillment as an individual, so let her cheer whoever she wants.
Yes, and I think it's a women's empowerment issue where she can say, no way, you guys are all going this way, I'm going this way. I say good for her.
So did we, although it hurt Rob's blue and white heart to be shelling green out to buy something with red and white and gold on it. I'll tell you that much.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see them sort of cheering against each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the family dynamics. There must be other families, like NFL families, where somebody's cheering Green Bay and somebody else is cheering, you know, the Eagles or something. I don't know, but what the heck. It makes for fun games. Just means their parents are going to have the NHL on twice as often now. Too bad for them.
Is Phil a Senators fan?
No, he's not really much of a hockey fan at all.
Okay.
They are all diehard Blue Jays fans. And of course, that season is over this weekend. So onward and upward, we can hope. But yeah, it's been a tough season for Blue Jays fans, but kind of fun to watch them rebuilding. Just not fun to watch them lose is all. At least on Blue Jays, we can all agree.
Yeah.
If only Canadians could all get together behind one thing, like we do at the Olympics when we all get behind Team Canada, right?
Right.
Yeah. What did you think of Trudeau on Colbert the other night?
I watched some clips. I am intentionally way, way down in any of my following of politics, Erin. I just found it was making me anxious.
Mm.
I watched a couple of clips of it and I thought he was great.
Yeah.
But, you know, his haters are going to hate him and his, I don't think it's going to change anything. But what did you think?
Oh, I thought he carried himself well and answered questions. I was a little surprised. I think he missed an opportunity when Colbert brought up Poilievre as Canada's Trump. You know, there could have been a little shot in there, but he didn't take it. He took the high road. And I don't know if that wins in this political climate, but he took it just the same. So he represented us well.
That's the thing, right? He's a cheerleader for Canada, regardless of what you think of anything else. And he's so likable and telegenic that it can't hurt to have him talking about us on TV. Can it?
Yeah, and he admits that people just are kind of tired of him, and they're tired of everything that's happened in the past several years. I mean, riding through COVID and everything else, the worldwide inflation and all of that, and the tendency is to pin it on somebody, and he recognizes he's got the pin on him. So it was interesting to watch.
Would that be being a champion of Canada and all of those things, even if he's not prime minister, whatever happens, would that be a description of his icky guy?
Ikigai. Okay, I know what you're getting at here because this is one of my favorite new words. It sounds like somebody that you dated on that you really wanted to get away from.
Ooh, he was an ikigai.
But it's a Japanese word, I-K-I-G-A-I, and it's about finding your passion and your purpose. And we first became aware of this watching a documentary series on Netflix called Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. And it came out last year, and some people are, they're arguing about what a blue zone is and stuff. But it's places in the world, largely islands, where people are living to 100 plus.
Huh.
And in Okinawa, Japan, one of the main factors is something called your ikigai.
Huh.
And it's your passion. And we have an article that we will link to on our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page from positivepsychology.com/ikigai. And how it describes it is sort of a Venn diagram of the joining up of these things in your life. This is what we want to look for in our lives, Lisa. The four elements of ikigai are doing what you love, what you are good at, what the world needs, and what you can get paid for.
Hmm.
Now, we're doing those things, and in some ways, my passion, your passion, may or may not be things that we can get paid for.
Right.
You know, that's where we fall down. And I don't know that that is the most important thing when it comes to volunteering, because volunteering is what you love, what you're good at, and gosh knows what the world needs.
Right. Very good point. And I've been reading so much about finding happiness and stuff and how if you're looking to be happy every second of every day, you're just not realistic. And so if you find something you're passionate about and feel is worthwhile, you know, which can be separate from happiness. How many retired men do you know make really cool birdhouses?
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever speaks to you. There are so many things that I would love to do, but nobody would give me a nickel for.
Yeah, but you found that with our Gracefully and Frankly necklaces. You just kind of put them together as a way to promote our live podcast, as a way to thank people for getting their friends to listen. And then, what a big surprise.
Yeah.
You had orders for about 100 of them. So you stumbled into your ikigai.
Well, it was one ikigai, the chain of leading to the next one. Although we are lucky in what we do, we get to use our skills. Yeah, some would say maybe. And but even the, you know, voiceover and writing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the fact that we have sponsors. I mean, there are a million podcasts out there, and we're just so lucky that Sierra Sill and Envy Pillow are so wonderful and loyal to us, and people are loyal to them in return. So, yeah, we're lucky. We really are.
And you do volunteer work, and I know that brings you a lot of happiness. And
it sure does.
I'm filling out some applications right now for my next volunteer attempt. So, yeah, maybe that'll be it, too. I don't know. We're getting to that age, honey. Oh, and may I remind you once again that it's your birthday?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. And I couldn't have imagined being able to spend it today with our grandkids and their parents and stuff. And this is our ikigai getting, well, we don't get paid for it, obviously, but this is our joy and our passion is being grandparents.
Oh, I have to thank you again, as I do every year, for going first into our new age. I appreciate you making sure the way is clear and everything's safe.
Well, you're very welcome. And of course, yours is coming up on October the 8th, and I can't wait. We are just sisters who were, well, different misters, different mothers, different provinces, but only those few days apart. So I'm just so grateful to have found you in my life.
Oh.
You are my icky girl. There you go.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome. One of the challenges of getting older and, of course, pursuing your love and your passion and your ikigai is keeping up your energy. And feeling constantly exhausted, it's just not normal, regardless of your age. And it is a myth that as we age, fatigue becomes par for the course, although it's a common symptom. About a third of 70-year-olds and two-thirds of 85-year-olds experience fatigue. And it's a reason why it's hard to get out of bed, harder even than chronic joint or back pain. Wow. And of course, this is where I mention again, Sierra-Sil will help you with that joint pain, and they have a guarantee.
Well, fatigue mixes in with so many other things that come along too, and it's hard to know which one is worth even bringing up to the doctor. I mean, I mentioned this week to my endocrinologist that I was getting brain fog, and she just sort of waved her hand and went, oh yeah, I'm in my 30s and I get it too. Move on. Oh. You know, so you just don't know what's worth it. So feeling fatigued isn't just a natural part of getting older, is what I hear you saying.
Right. Oh. What baseline are you comparing your current symptoms to? Are you comparing them to when you were 40 or before you got COVID? Or what are you using as your baseline, Lisa?
Geez, I guess before menopause or around there, because I feel like menopause is finally slowly exiting. So yeah, that's what it would be for me.
Mine is just, it's mood induced that, you know, just getting punched, it feels like, you know, it's part of life. And I am talking with my doctor about it. Mm. And it's just, you know, having the energy or the will to want to get out of bed and to pursue that passion or even think about a passion, right?
Right.
But there are some ways besides talking to your doctor to help your energy levels, including adding more protein to your diet, cutting down on ultra-processed food and snacks, because nutrition, it's the fuel we put into our vehicles, right?
Right, yeah.
Why we feel fatigued. And some of it is directly related to the foods that we're eating. Unless you have a balanced diet and have too much ultra-processed foods and refined carbs, they can give you short bursts of energy, sure, but they leave us feeling sluggish and unfulfilled.
Right. It's like that 3 o'clock chocolate bar that you're craving.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, you'll get that boost, but then you crash. Yeah.
Take care of your oral health. Did you know that having fewer teeth predicts fatigue in older age? I had no idea. Poor oral health is often due to unhealthy dietary choices. Also, start strength training. It doesn't mean you have to go to the gym. Just lift a can of something every now and then. We don't have to bulk up, but just stay active in that way. That's another way to stave off. And it's a bit of a catch-22, right? You don't feel the energy to work out, and yet it's what gives you energy.
Right. And that was something I discovered from one of Mark Manson's podcasts.
Yes.
Was that motivation comes from doing the thing. It's not the thing you wait for to do the thing. And that really turned my head around, because I was thinking, well, I don't really feel motivated. But once I get up and do it, the motivation arrives. It's a really different way of looking at it. And
yeah.
I don't have it perfected, but I'm working on it like everything else, right?
Sure. We are all works in progress.
Yeah.
And also check for underlying diseases like anemia. Mm. That's another big thing. Hypothyroidism can make you feel tired.
Yes, yes, it's very common, extremely common.
And there are other things that can be associated with a lack of energy, and their diseases and stuff. But basically, just keep an eye on it and talk to your doctor if you feel like you need more energy. And the days are getting shorter. Well, they're the same 24 hours, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So just pay attention to it. That's all. Okay, well, I guess when we next speak, I'll be at home again, and our whirlwind trip to Southern Ontario will be over. Sorry I wasn't seeing you this time. We have just visited as many people as we can during this trip.
We had planned this. It's all good. I'm going to see you next month. It's good.
Yes, it's going to be great. In the meantime, thank you. Thank you to everybody for sharing this time with us on Gracefully and Frankly, and we appreciate you. We appreciate our sponsors. We mentioned them before, Sierra-Sil and Envy Pillows, so there you go. And I'm having birthday cake today. I will have you know, I will have some of those refined sugars, because damn it, I'm 62 and I'm having cake.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Any excuse for cake.
You bet.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, honey. Bye.